What's up, guys? This is Rome. We're back for a special pod, except although we were gearing up, you know, the transition from the NFL season to the NBA season and start coming a little more hockey and college basketball and F1 as that picks up and baseball, et cetera, et cetera. We did not expect to get hit with this type of info, this type of breaking news over the weekend. We kind of sat on it for a little bit just to kind of see what unfolded. So we record this Monday night and glad we did. But even now, we're going to probably still talk about it in the next few pods to come. But Luka is now a Laker, joining LeBron in La La Land. Pretty wild. I'm going to miss AD, one of my favorite Lakers in a while, going to Dallas. Now two of my favorite players to watch in the NBA. AD and Kyrie are now on the same team, and it breaks my heart. But we'll talk about that, kind of go over that, and as well as the De'Aaron Fox trade becoming a Spur since that broke out as well. And then we'll end the pod. Jason is the most pumped up I've ever heard him, even more than F1. He's going to give you the full breakdown of what happened in WWE's Royal Rumble over the weekend. This guy sounds really excited. I think we're going to have to give him his own pod just for wrestling. That's how good it is. So don't go anywhere. Guys, this is a big pod tonight. It is late Monday night. This is the only time we can get on, or the fastest we can get on. Lots of trades in the NBA. Trade deadline this Thursday. This might be the craziest NBA trade deadline in a long time. So before we get into what has happened, what has transpired, I'm trying to think, like, the last time we had like a lot of action might have been when AD, that whole drama, was going to the Lakers. There's only one way in, one way out, and the Lakers gave up a lot. At least it seemed like it was a lot. It looks like they made out pretty well on that one. Before that, I'm thinking it was like an offseason thing. That would have been Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers. Was he going to go to the Clippers or the Lakers? And then Paul George coming out of nowhere. That shocked the NBA, making the way from the Thunder, I believe, right? And before that, it's been a long time. It might have been the Paul Gasol trade as well. Like, the last time it was a crazy NBA trade that kind of took people by surprise. But this for sure took everyone by surprise. We're talking about Luka Doncic getting traded to the Los Angeles Lakers in a three-team deal. Lots of funny parts into it. Utah is part of the trade as well. Utah gets Jalen Hood-Schifino, a 2025 second-round pick, two picks actually in 2025. One with Dallas, and then one's coming via the Clippers as well. Funny thing, it came out today. So this is Monday night. It came out earlier today that Danny Ainge didn't even know he was helping facilitate a Luka trade. That's how secretive this thing was. Dallas, we all hear it now. AD. I'm a big fan of AD. I love AD. He's been playing great. Probably like his best two-year stretch besides that other stretch when the Lakers won the chip in the bubble. Dallas also gets Max Christie in a 2029 first-round pick. That's it. You would think there would be two or three more first-round picks, but no. And we will talk about that as well, how that transpired. And we're going to still find out more information as the days roll out. So I'm kind of glad we're actually talking on Monday night. Lakers, they get Luka, they get Maxi Kleber, and Markieff Morris. Pretty good little haul. And it took the NBA world by storm, not only the NBA, but just everywhere. I was in town just getting off of my other engagement and saw my phone. Jason, your text is the one that alerted me of the trade. I'm thinking, like, this is bullshit, dude. It's a sham. From Shams, you know, he had to get hacked or something like that, which I think is what everyone thought. And then he tweets again, no, this is the real deal. Everyone's still talking about it till this day. We've had some other blockbuster trades, but let's start with that. Lakers get their new star for the next possibly 10 years. what were your guys' initial reactions, man? Because I'm still processing it. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm happy because we have our next star. But there's lots of layers to this story.
So we're not talking about the 2025 Royal Rumble first to start the show?
We'll get to it.
Because I was going to say main event Jey Uso winning the Royal Rumble was the biggest news of the weekend. Just shocker there in Indianapolis. But then I think not more than an hour later, yeah, Rome, I texted you the tweet from Shams. I didn't think it was real. And I, you know, follow a bunch of random people on Twitter a lot of times. And you're like, is this like NBA Spot Centra or something?
Yeah, you know, one of those, that's the one. One of those weird account. Twitter. Yeah.
So I literally looked through it like twice. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, this is the guy. This is Shams' account. And so I sent it to you guys. And yeah, you talked about reaction from it. I was trying not to be prisoner of the moment. But it probably was the most shocking trade in NBA history, maybe the most shocking trade ever, because there was nothing leaking that Luka was really on the market. There was some just disgruntled stuff, I think, around Dallas with regarding to his injury and his conditioning and things like that. AD, I don't think that was even talked about him being like available for anything right now. He was pretty much tied to LeBron and, hey, this guy is going to be the successor to LeBron in LA. You were going to be finding a young piece to pair with AD when LeBron decides to retire. So
that was the game plan, right?
Yeah. That was just a long, you know, they gave up everything to New Orleans to get him. And this is going to be the future and the guy, you know, another, you know, big man in the history of the Lakers franchise, that this is going to be like the next guy up there. But when you look at it, you're like, what is the point of this? And then what is Dallas doing? What are you doing? Like, the guy's 25, AD's what, 32, Rome? Something like that?
31, 32, right? 31, Aaron?
32.
Yeah, I mean, Luka will be 26 into this month, and mid March, AD will be 32. So they're basically 6 years difference in age.
I mean, yeah, so you're trading basically a whole contract gulf of age for maybe a top five player in the league right now. I've seen a lot of stuff, you know, talking about how many all NBA this guy's been. And he's been the only people more, I think, are like LeBron, Giannis, Durant, something like that. Like, so he's one of the top five players in the league, and seems like we're just gifting him to the Lakers. You know, I don't want to call conspiracy for you, Rome, but I was the hardest person on this pod. Aaron's close with me on talking about how boring the NBA is right now and nobody wants to watch it. And so, I don't know, did commissioner pick up the phone and say, we need to make this season more interesting? And hey, let's get the Lakers, you know, the young star, make sure we can make them relevant here in the playoffs. But I mean, you don't see many superstar for superstar trades like this in the NBA at the same time. You can say, you know,
not in their prime. Yeah.
Nah, you could say it was one-sided for the Lakers, because they get the, you know, the 6 years edge on a young budding superstar, are going to get to be able to sign Luka to the Supermax or $350 million, whatever it's going to be. But usually in the NBA, it's like, oh, I'll give you my aging contract salary dump and a second round pick so I can take your superstar from you. So, you know, you can read into it both ways. I think ESPN.com gave like the Mavericks an F out of this trade, but I mean, they got superstar for superstar out of this, so maybe they're good for this year. They're obviously losing the future, and you never trade a Supermax guy, but I mean, I don't know how many more good players or great players you're going to get in a trade like that. I mean, who if they were to offer Luka on the open market, I think then you're going, okay, why are you trading this guy? And you could look at the Jimmy Butler situation. When a guy becomes available, hey, no one's going to give you anything for him.
Yeah, there's been a few times in the history when a all-star player, all-perennial NBA guy asks for a trade, and it gets a bidding war, right? You want to get the max return. Even when Kobe asked for a trade, they were starting to figure out like what that was going to look like. There's multiple first-round picks, what kind of talent you're going to get. Usually teams want at least some young potential to come back to the team. You can have some expiring contracts as well. You know, it's like a favor for taking on whatever the hell it is. But the fact that there was no grumblings about this, it's really impressive that it was obviously two guys, Nico Harris, Rob Pelinka. They've known each other since the Kobe Bryant days. Two very close people to Kobe Bryant. Crazy how he's still having an impact on the NBA, even though he's long gone. but this was like a buddy-buddy relationship. I think I called you, Aaron, the other day really quickly. Was that yesterday? These days are starting to blur right now.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke yesterday afternoon. We spoke
really briefly, and I'm just thinking like, dude, this feels personal because this does not make any sense still. And I know there's – Ramona Shelburne has a pretty good article. I just started reading it earlier, but I haven't got a chance to, you know, even get like one-fourth of the way. But they kind of break it down how it's going down. And even Nico's press conference afterwards saying like, you know, me and Jason Kidd are on the same page. Jason Kidd did not look like a guy that was on the same page. If there was ever a fucking facial expression, like what the fuck, that was it. I do believe that they're talking, you know, they're obviously pissed at Luka. And now all these things are coming back up with, like, what was it, Michael Finley taking Luka's beer after they clinched a trip to the finals. And then Brian Windhorst, Wemby, you know, he was really critical of Luka during the finals, you know, being really bad on defense. Was that, like, the turning point? Was, you know, does this guy party so much in the offseason? Do they hate that he's, like, 10 pounds overweight? Like, the fact that, like, there's just so much angst about him. Like, he's not even in his prime yet. You know, usually that's like 27 to 32, 33. And he's a guard, so that maybe that extends a little bit longer. He was just about to get in there, and he's been a perennial MVP caliber player since he got in the league. He took the team to a Western Conference Finals and an NBA Finals already as a 25-year-old. That's fucking impressive. I think Russillo, I just saw a clip. I want to catch that one as well. He's like, dude, Luka could be smoking cigarettes up the court, and I'd still sign him to a Supermax. Like, that's hilarious. Like, that's how good he is. He's so phenomenal. So, yeah, lots of things.
Yeah, for the NBA, this is – I don't know if it's breaking a golden rule, but you look at 20 other franchises around the league. Once you get the guy, and, you know, this is better than most of the others. Like, this is a top five player if you're saying that. You don't let this guy go. You give him the Supermax. You deal with it. You figure out what, you know, other superstar to pair him with and some good surrounding pieces, and you let it run, and you just go out from there. I mean, we talked about the Bulls pre-podcast. Like, you know, Aaron and I have been waiting for the Bulls to be good for like 25 years at this point. You know, small run because we had Derrick Rose and some good things with Luol Deng, and then he gets hurt and it's over. They're still searching for a guy. You know, the Knicks, hey, you know, they traded everything for Carmelo, thought he'd be the guy, could pair with Amari. It didn't work out. Now, you know, they got Jalen Brunson. He's going to be the guy and some other pieces around that. But, like, man, just what Dallas is giving up. You had Dirk Nowitzki for all those years, was able to get the championship and another finals, always was trying to pair pieces around him, you know, got a lot out of it, successful. Then you luck into, hey, you're getting your next guy, and now you're just giving up with the guy where, like Rome, you said, hasn't even mentioned his prime. As a general manager, I feel like there's got to be something more to it. But at the same time, you're talking about these two guys from GMs are friends. And so, like, okay, what do you know that you're going to be giving up on a 26-year-old superstar if it is that bad and untenable that you're not going to sign this guy to a Supermax? Because I feel like you're losing out in leverage, even the point that you should have went to the summer with him, signed him to the Supermax, and now you have 5 years of control if you really were going to go on that leverage. Because the whole point of the collective bargaining agreement that you get to re-sign your superstar to a Supermax was, I think it's like 100+ million difference if that player was to test free agency. These guys always sign. So no matter what franchise, or hey, you have the leverage being the whole time team, he's not going to give up 100 million to go just sign with the Lakers. Like, they're going to, you know, force his way in a different way. But it's just crazy. And that thing, and then Dallas, you know, maybe they have a good year this year because, hey, Anthony Davis is still really good. He's towards the end of his prime. Kyrie's played really well. So it's not like they have nothing. But now, two, three years from now, what do they have? Like, they're going to have an aging Anthony Davis and probably not Kyrie.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas's windows now. Their 2-3 year window, they're all in. Their futures win now.
Yeah.
Lakers, Rob Pelinka, I think, said it best. We view Luka as the face of the franchise for the next 10 years. The Lakers, as the roster is constructed, they're done. They're done in the West. They're not going to compete for a title. And LeBron, whether or not he walks away at the end of the year, who knows? He's kind of quiet on that. He's got 1 year left. Rome, we talked about 12 hours after this trade came out. He announces it gets I plan on staying the Lakers and not exercising my no-trade clause. He didn't know about this trade. Him and AD were really close, basically represented by Rich Paul, same agency. Say what you want, AD and LeBron have had their issues, but Rome, like you said, AD the last 2 years has been on the court and he's delivered. He's been a top five player. And that's kind of, you know, you never see superstar for superstar, given the age difference, given the gap. But Dallas stuck it to Luka, Rome. We talked, you know, Jason just mentioned it. They cost Luka $100+ million.
Yeah, he can't get that
Supermax anymore. They could have signed and traded him in the offseason and gave him the Supermax, and the Lakers still would have gladly taken him.
Yeah.
But they basically said, dude, we're going to fuck you out of $100+ million. That stings. I don't care who you are. We're going to trade you away secretly. We're not even going to let the head coach, any personnel really in the organization know. I do know Nico, from what I heard, did talk to the president of the organization, got the A-OK. Remember, Mark Cuban sold off majority stake in this team.
He did not know about it.
He would never, never in his lifetime trade Luka away. We know how loyal he is to players. He's a player first kind of guy.
Well, he was happy that he got Luka because that was the next guy.
They traded for Luka on draft night. Remember, they swapped Trae Young for Luka on draft night with the Hawks.
I did want to talk about that in a little bit because, this trickles down for when they traded for Luka. You know, they
viewed Luka as a savior. He's gotten to the finals. Now, I want to give Nico a lot of credit. This team wasn't a finals team last year. He traded for PJ Washington.
Yeah.
He traded for the big guy, Gilford, whatever his name is.
Gilford, the center, yeah.
And that's what put this – and then Kyrie balled out too. I mean, don't forget, Kyrie balled out in the playoffs to get him to the finals. This wasn't like, you know, Luka put the whole team on his back and it's just all Luka. PJ Washington was great in the playoffs. Luka was – good in the playoffs. Kyrie, as a collective team, they were good. And they got good matchups too. I mean, they got a Clippers team, no Kawhi. OKC Thunder was really young, undersized. They took them out. And then a Minnesota team that was emotionally drained after beating the defending champ Nuggets. And then they got smoked in the finals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, personally, if with everything their concerns about Luka being conditioning, injury-wise, a lot of people are saying, hey, you pay the guy $350 million. It's not my $350 million to pay. If I don't believe in the guy and I don't think he can stay healthy, calf injuries tend to lead to what? Achilles tears. That sets you out 18 months in the NBA season. Is that the future of Luka? I don't know. But he's had continuous calf issues for the last 2 years. Concern. Conditioning is a concern. He's listed at 260. That's 6'6". Doesn't have a lot of muscle mass on him. Should probably be down to about 230, to be honest. He needs to lose about 25, 30 pounds.
All these European players, though, man, they're pretty soft. They all got the dad bod. Look at Joker.
Joker's actually in really good shape and strong.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if soft's the right word. It's just not all of them are just leaned out.
Not soft,
like
just
muscular.
Body-wise, yeah, they're not. They're not very cut.
I mean, they don't look. I mean, if you put AD next to Luka and put a photo of them without their shirt and muscle cut off, you'd say that's a steal of a trade just off body physique alone for the Mavs. Let's leave it at that.
Well, it's not a bikini contest.
But I mean, I like the move by Dallas personally. The 2-3 years window for them to win. If you don't trust Luka, if you don't believe in him, swapping him away. I mean, now the Lakers get him for 4 years. $240 million. It's a discount for them. I get why they do it. But as right now, the Lakers roster is constructed. They're not going to compete in the West.
Who?
Dallas now.
Who, Lakers?
Yeah.
You think they're going to drop down?
Oh, yeah. Lakers are done.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. With Luka and LeBron, they're done. No big guy, they're done. They can't even beat Houston. They can't beat Dallas. San Antonio's better than now with Fox. The Lakers are going back to the play-in game now where they belong.
That's a bold take. I don't think so.
Dallas has jumped to probably the number two team in the West and can compete now with the Thunder and get to the finals. And that's why they made the move.
Yeah. So I like Davis.
And keep an eye on Jimmy Butler maybe to Dallas too, if we're talking about. I think Jimmy Butler to Dallas is still in play.
I like AD on Dallas. Definitely is like a win now mode. They do value defense. So, man, I love AD, but to do like a straight up swap for Luka with just one first round, it still doesn't make any sense. And AD, he's had a 2 year good run, but you know, these big guys, one injury away, you know, from you know, you could be like Joel Embiid for like the next few years. So it is exciting. I'm really curious. Kyrie. So two of my favorite players down the NBA are both on Dallas. It kind of breaks my heart a little bit. Now I'm going to be watching a few more Dallas games. And that's why they signed Klay Thompson, because they're, you know, they feel like they needed another shooter to compete for a championship. I do give you that it puts them in position to compete in the next year or two and try to grab a trip. But after that, though, they're in deep shit. With Lakers, they've been playing really nice, looking like a contender, especially the last week and a half, and then bits and parts throughout the season. They beat a really good Knicks team on Saturday, which is even crazier when you think like how well LeBron was moving. He's kind of like morphing into like this Karl Malone type of move, you know, where he's not really as effective anymore, but he has a big body. He's really strong, and he picks his spots when he's going to attack and gets everyone involved. I think there's a chance. I'm not sure how Luka and LeBron fit, but I think Luka being around LeBron is going to be a big fucking plus. And if Luka hasn't had that FU moment yet, because everyone's waiting for him, like the better conditioning or like, you know, improve his defense. Part of this thing on the background was Dallas fired all his favorite coaches earlier in the year. I didn't know that. It totally went underneath my radar. So there's been like some tension going on in Dallas. I guess it was an aim at trying to wake him up to improve his conditioning or stop drinking, whatever it is. I'm curious to read more about it, but Lakers right now, they're lingering around the 5 seed. I still like them to still be in that spot, even go up, you know, possibly to the 4 seed and in a 7-game series against anybody in the West. I think they can still make some noise. The trade deadline is not till Thursday, and I imagine they're going to need to pick up a big before then.
One thing, as of right now, Monday night, I haven't seen any quote from him on it besides him saying it wasn't his team anymore. But if Mark Cuban still owned this team, it was in basketball decision-making powers, does this trade even happen?
No, not even close.
Yeah, it's the... I think it's the most interesting thing, him selling the team. And I think he was the governor of the team in a little while, but I know that I think that may have phased out at this point too, because he was kind of just more of a figurehead because of who was buying the team at the time and whatever ceremonial stuff they were trying to do to transition of power. But I mean, Doncic was his guy, like coming in, and now if you're saying they're getting rid of the coaches and all this type of stuff, like, it's just very interesting what's going on in Dallas and a different regime. And if you're looking at, hey, the next decade of Mavericks basketball, like, hey, this isn't the whatever 25 years of Mark Cuban owning this team where they were always relevant. They were always part of the conversation. You know, are we now on kind of just a downward trend of where this organization is going to be? I mean, this was not seen, you know, I don't know, I saw some clips on Twitter or something like that. People like basically brought like a casket or something to the front of American Airlines Arena or something going on. Like, I mean, these are the type of trades that, like, you know, just they take away a generation of fans just because of like, hey, you're taking something away. And oh, I know this generation is maybe, yeah, I mean, this generation is a little more numb to it because, I mean, I don't think the player loyalties were back in the day, but like, you know, you go into a different sport like baseball. You know, the Marlins always come to my mind where like, hey, this team's won 2 World Series championships, you know, during kind of our lifetime, where they've quickly just gutted the roster and traded anyone away and any reason to believe in the team. And you lose, you know, a generation of fans. You know, I'll rip all the Chicago teams left and right. And we talk about the Bulls. They somehow still sell out every year, but like, you know, have the best attendance. But does anyone really even care and relevant about the Bulls at any point right now? But like, besides just getting money for seats, but like, they've lost generations of fans because teams just becoming irrelevant. The post-Jordan era, like, just, hey, we're going to stop winning right now and go on to the next thing. And this is the type of thing where you look at the Mavericks in 10 years, like, are they even relevant? If Doncic brings the Lakers an NBA championship, just even won at a certain point, like, it was worth it probably the Lakers front. And the Mavericks are possibly just get
some 2 or 3 in the next 10 years.
And the Mavericks, so they get nothing out of this trade. And then, you know, you're past the AD prime and, hey, you're just in rebuilding mode and you become like a bottom feeder in the league. It's very questionable. Like, this could be a turning point of a franchise where it's like, hey, this team's irrelevant for the next 15 years.
You know what's interesting about this trade, though? I kind of believe the reports that no one knew about this allegedly Pelinka had Davis as well as AJ on a phone call. Then he called LeBron, and then I forgot who the third call was, right? But Anthony Davis waived his $5.5 million kicker, whatever it was. I feel like he kind of knew what was coming, at least a little bit before that. For that to happen on a pretty serious phone call before you have to call everyone else before the story breaks, like in a matter of 20 minutes, which was like the case for the Jazz, right? They had 20 minutes right when they found out that, you know, what they were a part of. And Danny Ainge was so pissed because they kept them out in the dark. Like that's like a quick turnaround. I feel like something had to be brewing. Like maybe AD was fed up, you know, with the Lakers too, you know, maybe because, you know, they were just on ESPN talking about like how they need another big. Lakers have been moving bricks for LeBron and the whole Clutch family. Hell, they got Bronny on the fucking team. So I saw like a clip, you know, maybe this is like the Lakers, like, you know, fuck you to Clutch, but it's already a little too late. I doubt it's that, but it's just so many different stories. And I don't know if we'll ever get the true story.
Yeah, Rome. I mean, the days of LeBron now running the Lakers organization are over. That's done.
Now it's Luka.
Now it's Luka. I mean, stories broke out, you know, Nico and Rob basically met for a cup of coffee 3-4 weeks ago.
Oh, you read that?
Yeah, shooting the shit and kind of throwing hypothetical deals out there. And that's Nico, amazing. Nico and AD are boys. He got him his first shoe contract there with Nike years back. So there's a lot there.
He trusts
obviously,
Nico.
Obviously, Nico doesn't like Luka, doesn't like how he approaches the game.
Well, that's obvious.
Doesn't like his defense. And I mean, say what you want. I mean, Luka, from an offensive standpoint, is one of the greatest players probably in NBA history. But defensively, he's bad. He's awful.
I call him
James Harden 2.0 because he don't play any defense.
Is he that bad?
And James Harden has won zero titles. And Luka, I mean, in the NBA, defense does win championships. Say what you want. All the star players, pretty much, outside of a few teams here and there, but every star player, going back to the Jordan era, Shaq, Kobe, Tim Duncan, LeBron, Wade Bosch, they were all great defensive teams. And they were all good individual defensive players or average. Luka's below average defensive player. He's a below average team defensive player. And I think Nico... Dallas fans, you know, they got a right to be mad. But once they see how good AD really is and he still has a year, two, three left in the tank, and they start and they win, and I'm not saying they're going to win a title, but they're going to win games. They're going to be in the playoff push. People, if Luka does bad or Luka gets hurt, then it's all going to basically look like, hey, man, Dallas look like geniuses. So, yeah, if Dallas wins a title and the Lakers win a title, everybody will call it a wash.
Maybe it'd be like a Greg Oden level of injury for it.
I mean, Greg Oden was always Greg Oden looked 30 on when he was like 15 years old, man. I mean, that guy.
I mean, Aaron brings up an interesting point. You know, I think Nico isn't going to make this trade if he doesn't see something, and it could be because he's boys with AD, like Aaron mentioned, but like. I'm almost rooting actually for the freezing cold takes of it all. If Dallas does win the championship with everyone calling this guy an idiot and this is the worst trade ever and blah, 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 blah. And it turns out like, hey, from a basketball perspective, it's actually, you know, hey, maybe it's a better deal, you know, in the short term, and it delivers them a championship and sets them up for the long run. You know, it's not the conventional wisdom. I still think you're making a massive mistake because you're trading a young superstar and you just don't do that. You just deal with it in the NBA. But you know, there's been stranger things that have just won one championship. I think a lot of times all these organizations are building up to win, hey, multiple championships, or trying to win three or four. We're building a dynasty and stuff. But, you know, you look back at, you know, earlier Mavs runs, Dirk, just the one championship. They got it done. The Pistons, you know, they got it done. Those the Garnett Pierce Celtics, they just got the one championship. So like
Dallas said some of these too. They gave that one away.
Yeah, to Miami, they did, but they're in the conversation. But yeah, you know, if they can get one championship out of it, you think of the Lakers at this point. They traded all that stuff to New Orleans for AD. They got the one bubble championship, and that's really all they got. Now they're able to flip AD and everything they gave up for Luka at this point. So that's really kind of the result of this trade. And what can they parlay that into the future? But you know, there's there's an argument to be made both ways, and we'll be looking back at the trade, you know, several years from now, and Nico's taking a massive risk, and this is going to be probably his legacy as a general manager, whichever way it goes.
Nico's career depends on this trade.
Oh, hell
like yeah. if he fails, he's out of all NBA general management circles for life.
For life, yeah. This is career killer.
And I'm sure he sat down and they looked at all the numbers, they looked at the data, and they had to put this together. Because, I mean, look, if you sign Luka to a Supermax and your team sucks, no one's ever going to blame you. They're going to be like, dude, Luka. Like, it's not going to be a career ending. Now, if you move Luka and he goes to the Lakers in Rome, you say wins two or three titles in the next 10 years, 8 years. I mean, Nico, I mean, he won't be able to show his face in the state of Texas ever again.
Yeah, I would say, who was the general manager of the 76ers that was just doing the process, basically just tanking every year?
Ah, man. What was his name? I forgot.
I thought you guys.
Everybody forgot. But yeah, I know.
Hey, I'm going to tank every year and stuff. And just like he's, I don't know if he's in the league anymore or anything, but he was basically run out of the league.
But I mean, yeah, injuries. I mean, you look at Joel Embiid, guys. I mean, Joel Embiid, injuries, got paid max. He's done. Paul George, another guy. I mean, he's been hurt, a lot of money. Kawhi Leonard. So you're seeing a lot of stars get paid max contracts and they're not living up to it. I don't think Luka's at that point, but obviously Dallas is scared to the point where they're like, we can get AD. And AD, I mean, he is 32, but his numbers aren't declining. I mean, he's still balling. I think AD can give us three more years like this if he stays healthy.
Yeah, relative. Yeah, no, I was looking forward to having AD finish his career with the Lakers. And he's broken a lot of records. LA loves him. He's pretty mellow as a superstar, you know, pretty chill. Nice guy.
I mean, the Lakers are fifth in the West because of the AD's really dominance. I mean, he was the best player on that team. Even though they had LeBron, AD was basically the guy. Even though he wasn't the face of the team, he was the guy.
Yeah, I think when I did my initial power rankings for like top 25 players in the NBA, AD was definitely in my top three or four. I know a lot of people don't have that same opinion, but he wasn't on a tear. But Luka, 25, and he's been in that top, depending on who you talk about. People were talking about he might be the best player in the world, like even last year. You know, some people have them one, two, or three in most conversations.
I mean, I maybe have them top 10. It's hard for me to pit a guy that doesn't play defense as an elite player. This isn't like another sport like football or whatever where you just focus defense, one player, offense. NBA is a complete game. Can you play offense? Can you play defense? I mean, you're talking about guys, LeBron, Jordan, Kobe, guys in those are great defensive players as well, offensive players. Luka's defensively is just bad, man. He's bad. For me to consider him an elite player, you know, offensively, yeah. But to consider him a top tier guy, there's a number of guys you'd want in the league over him. I mean, SGA from OKC, Ant-Man with Minnesota. I would take all these guys over Luka.
It's definitely worth the conversation. Darren Fox, he said he was not going to sign, not happy with the Sacramento Kings, got his coach fired. I'm pretty sure he was a big part of Brown getting canned there. Doug Christie, if you remember him from the early 2000s, a menace on the Kings.
The self-proclaimed Kobe stopper.
Yeah, there's a few of those.
He was one of the better ones at the title of that, though.
He was, actually, yeah. They definitely gave the Lakers fits, but he's done a pretty good job. I think they won like 8 of 12 or something like that since he's taken over, kind of rallied that team. Let's talk about that trade next, I guess, because De'Aaron Fox, lots of talent. I think Aaron, you have talked about this, how the Lakers should have drafted him over Lonzo Ball that year. But Magic Johnson was running the team, and you know, I'm not a big fan of that, of those 2 months that he was running things, and he's still bragging about it till this day. But De'Aaron Fox, he's a big name, big superstar. I think he's a level below everybody else, but still, to kind of end up with the team that you want to go to, pretty impressed that he had that kind of pull. He ends up with his dream scenario with the San Antonio Spurs to team up with Wemby. Him and Jordan McLaughlin go to San Antonio. The Kings got Zach LaVine from Chicago, which a lot of people thought that he was not movable because of his big contract. And Kings just picked up a lot of picks, man. Two first rounders in 25 and 27, another one in 31, and then three second round picks, 25, 28, 2 and 28, one via the Nuggets and one from the Bulls. Funny how they got a bigger haul than Dallas got for Luka Doncic. The Bulls, they got Kevin Huerter. He's been having a pretty solid few years. Trey Jones, Zach Collins, you know, nothing too crazy. But at least San Antonio, I think I might have had them on the under on their over-under for wins this year, but still moving up, being pretty competitive. Wemby's on a wholly, totally different trajectory. He's dominating the league already, and it's just a matter of time when he's the top dog, potentially, right? So adding a guy like De'Aaron Fox definitely makes him a fun combination, and they obviously want to make a move now to be competitive, at least in the playoffs. So thoughts on this other mega deal that happened, I think, just hours after the Luka deal happened?
Definitely got overshadowed. Agree with Aaron when you're talking about De'Aaron Fox. If you're quoting Aaron, right, that the Lakers should have taken him. But I think it gives Wemby another piece that he probably just really hasn't had thus far. It's, for better or for worse, been kind of almost a one-man show in San Antonio. So, hey, this is going to give him, you know, an upgraded running mate than what they've had in San Antonio as kind of this rebuild has gone on. The Kings, I mean, they've been kind of in the NBA's bottom sellers since – what, the early 2000s, you know, once that Doug Christie, Weber, Stojakovic team kind of disbanded, they haven't really done anything. And so they kind of had this resurgence the last couple of years under Mike Brown and a couple of these players. And now are we kind of just, you know, putting that to the side? Zach LaVine's been on the market, I think, in Chicago for years upon years right now, just waiting.
Feels like forever.
Forever. And, you know, I mean, one of my friends texted me is like, so the Bulls got nothing. I mean, they got their own first round pick back from San Antonio and, you know, some salary relief and stuff. So the Bulls need to be in full like rebuilding mode. They're just in 500 purgatory, which is just generally what owner Jerry Reinsdorf does. Like, I'll put a good enough team out there to maybe get the eighth seed in the playoffs or 10th seed, you know, get one couple home playoff games and be quote unquote relevant, sell out the building because we're kind of there, but not actually put a winner out there. And in the NBA, like, yeah, you got to be bad and go get some of those generational stars and hope you luck into one. And the Bulls haven't done that. They've done a bunch of half measures, getting, you know, getting Lonzo, getting, who else that? The center. Why am I drawing a blank on his name?
They're probably going to move him too.
Who? Sabonis? Yeah.
No, for Bulls.
Bulls.
I'm pronouncing his name wrong, but yeah, probably going to move him. So, I mean, and the Bulls had a crowded backcourt as it was, you know, with Kobe White and some other names there and Lonzo as it was. Lonzo's on the last year of his deal. So the Bulls have a ton of cap space. They'll probably be super bad last year. They're already like trending probably not to make the playoffs this year. I don't know what they really got out of this besides some potential cap room. But I think all in all, the end of it, I mean, the Spurs got a guy to go with Wemby and got a serviceable but not as good player in Zach LaVine to kind of maybe continue to do some sort of winning in Sacramento. But I think Sacramento got worse, San Antonio got better, and the Bulls are trying to blow it up.
Yeah, I mean, the Bulls, like Jason said, I mean, they're going to have draft picks. They're going to a lot of salary cap dump guys. Be interesting to see what they do in the summer, what they're going to do. Love the move for the Spurs, getting De'Aaron Fox. You team them up with Wemby. They got other young talented players there. Castle out of UConn, rookie, probably going to be rookie of the year, I'm hearing. Really nice player. They didn't have to really give up anybody. They gave up a draft pick. They dumped Zach Collins' contract on the Bulls, which was a terrible contract for them. you mentioned it, Rome. I said it, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago when De'Aaron Fox came out, that the Lakers should have taken him over Lonzo Ball, but the pressure of Ball being a local kid, here from Chino, UCLA guy, Magic, Rob Pelinka, whoever you want to blame for that pick.
UCLA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever you want to blame for that pick, they fell to the pressure, and they let De'Aaron Fox Kentucky go to the Kings there. And then, Rome, we were talking yesterday, like you said, if I was the Lakers, I would have, you know, they've said Austin Reeves is untouchable. Maybe he's available now that they got Luka. I would have moved Reeves, some draft picks, and I would have picked up De'Aaron Fox and brought him to the Lakers and kept AD. And that team would have been a contender to come out of the West and win a title. And at least you try it for a year or two and go from there. But they took the future route and going with Luka. Spurs with Wimby, man, he's going to be good. Next year, the Spurs are going to be top 5-4 team in the West. They're going to be there. They're going to be ready to compete, getting close to a title. It's coming. I mean, Wimby and Fox, they're going to win title. And I like that combination of win a title over Luka and the Lakers right now. And I'll go on record and say it. The Spurs will win a title before Luka and the Lakers do. So you can pin me down for that. Put in your notes, whatever notepad you got. Record this. Hot take it, whatever. Wimby and De'Aaron Fox will win an NBA title before Luka and the Lakers ever do.
That's ridiculous. Wemby's just in year two, man.
I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming very, very soon. Closer. It's like the old saying, objects in the mirror closer than they appear. That's coming. The Spurs are coming.
Anyways. Interesting thing about the Sacramento Kings, man. They've been pretty competitive. They looked really good just a couple years ago in the playoffs. Just a few bounces away from making the Western Conference Finals, another piece away from being contenders. Then they fire their coach, they get Mike Brown, they kind of retool a little bit. They're stuck in like this like decent team with good players. They got Sabonis who is phenomenal. He's having another career year, and so they got Zach there. I don't know what it does for them. They just kind of stay where they're at. They have a lot of things to do, a lot of moves. Now they have a lot of picks. So I know their management, it's kind of a mess, actually.
They are the Bulls of the Western Conference. You got Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan basically teamed up against Chicago. I'm telling you. And like Jason said, they have been irrelevant since the early 2000s. They are the Bulls of the Western Conference.
Like, how can you get a team like that close to be really good and they just like miss it? You know, it's a... Yeah, it is what it is.
Rome, you haven't been to a game at Sacramento, right? You have not been to
no,
the...
No, I want to go. We got to go.
Dude, March 7th, put it on your calendar. De'Aaron Fox returns back to Sacramento. That's a Friday. Spurs, Kings. I might come up.
Let's go. I'd like to see Wemby. I'm really curious.
I want to see him too. I think the seats will still be cheap. We'll be able to get some good seeds, I think, there at the, was it Golden Spoon? Golden Spoon Arena? Is that what it's called now?
The Golden Corral? I don't know.
It's not the Cow Palace?
No.
Cow Palace? No. Cow Palace is a little venue here.
I remember it was the old South Arco Arena back in Arco. I remember Arco. Yeah.
I haven't got cast since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that'd be really fun.
Put it on your calendar, March 7th, Rome.
March 7th. Let's look into it for sure. I think that'd be fun. Jason, come up, man.
I don't know. I got a lot of trips going on, man. I got March Madness kind of right after that. I'll be out there, you know, WrestleMania. A lot of Vegas stuff for me for the spring.
That's right. Just live there already.
he's got a pad there. He's got a pad, yeah, secret pad. Make secret deals, kind of like Nico.
Secret deals, you know.
Yeah, dude, that whole Nico thing still is just wild. Some stuff that also came out, like I guess like in that Ramona Shelburne story is Nico just didn't want to feel the pressure from the fans. Didn't want to feel pressure from other teams to force a trade or like what's the biggest haul and not doing like the right pick. Besides Anthony Davis, I guess when you're breaking it down, like what other players they could have gotten that would have fit what they were looking for. You got Giannis from Milwaukee. They're not going to do that. After that, there's no one really else that kind of fits that prototype. Unless you're looking at the Heat with Bam, but that's not good enough as well. Is there any other player that they could have even looked at that would have been enticing for them? I think that's
it. I don't know the team that have done it. Like, would the Celtics talk about Jason Tatum for Luka?
I don't know.
I mean, that could be interesting. I mean, you said Bam, but you're not going to do like Jimmy and Bam or something for that. You know, Giannis isn't going to be entertained. You're not going to be talking to Oklahoma City about Shea Gillis or anything.
Oh, no, they're
like
stolen from the Clippers. They're going to keep on saying they're going to win a title. By the way, they have to win a title now.
Yeah.
People are chilling up.
I get where people are saying, oh, you don't open the bidding and stuff. But the thing about the NBA is, man, you turn this into a circus, you start losing leverage. Like, yeah. You know, then the player owns like a lot of this of like where I will go and where I won't go.
Look
and then,
Butler.
You know, yeah, look at Butler right now. Think of Dame Lillard. You know, when he was trying to get out of Portland, he wanted to go Miami. He's like, Miami,
turned
into a big fiasco and go there. So, like, I mean, this could be the best way. And did he get the best deal? I mean, I don't know what would have been the other deals out there, but you're getting a good haul in return. And I think he's just lucky. Like, you have a tight relationship with that particular GM, with Rob Pelinka, that he's not going to leak it, because, you know, if they would have brought Danny Ainge in any earlier, that would have got leaked 100% that was even being talked about.
If Magic Johnson was in charge of it, that thing would have been leaked the minute that they had coffee. He would have tweeted about it.
He would have screenshotted it right there.
He would have screenshot the conversation.
Here's your bit of recording. He would have had a little secret recording and aired that. Can you believe this guy wants to trade Luka?
I think it's because NBA trades are just because of the way the collective bargaining agreement is written, because you have to do the salary exchange and all these other goofy things just to get deals done in the NBA. Like, it's a complex thing to happen. And then, you know, all these contract like clauses and draft pick rules and things like that. Like, these things just get like thrown in just to cobble together a trade to trade like one or two guys.
Yeah. I mean, could he've gotten more? I mean, Rome, you mentioned Keane's got what, 3 first round picks or whatever.
Keane's
it was
a lot of assets. The Spurs have a lot of assets.
But I mean, draft picks to me in the NBA, they're not really worth what they used to be, say, 20 years ago. I mean, there's teams. I mean, look at the Brooklyn Nets have been stacking draft picks for the last decade. And they still suck.
Yeah. What was the trade last week where I think Utah just traded like 3 first round picks for like 1 first round pick or something like that? Something absurd. Did they give to the Lakers, or I forgot what that trade was, but it was the Suns. They traded like 3 first round picks back to the Suns or something like that, just a swap type thing, just for absurdity.
I think this trade shook up the NBA though. Like Nico, hell of a fucking ballsy move. We'll see how this pans out. If it doesn't, though, you're right, Aaron. His ass is long gone in the NBA. No one's going to give him a second chance, because he obviously has like personal vendettas and he'll keep it. And I think maybe we might see similar things where these teams try to take back that power that the NBA players have, you know, that NBA empowerment. These fully guaranteed contracts, it might not be a thing in the future. I think now that they're going to be getting paid $50 to $70 million, that's what they were afraid of, right? Giving guys $70 million when he's not even listening to them at $40 million. It's going to change things. This is going to have repercussions throughout.
Well, that, and Jason said, I mean, if you openly shop Luka, because he doesn't have a no trade clause, so you can trade him anywhere. What if he goes like after a year and be like, dude, I don't want to be here? Like, he's not going to say that to the Lakers. He's going to sign him to the Lakers. It's the Lakers. He's going to stay there. But if you would have sent him Utah, you know, Washington Wizards, and been like, hey, Luka,
Jesus,
you're going to be in Washington. He's not going to sign there.
They have cool jerseys, though.
So
it's not keeping you there.
Yeah. I mean, they got like 9 wins. So, you know, Luka's not leaving the Lakers. You get a superstar in return in AD, though the window for him being a star in the league is 2 to 3 years if he stays healthy. Max Christie's a good wing player. I like him. He's 21. He's long. He plays good defense. He can shoot threes. Who doesn't like that in the NBA today? It reminds me of, you know, Caruso, KCP, all these guys the Lakers have given away before, where they get these young guards that can defend and shoot threes. They're going to help playoff time, because guess what? If Luka and the Lakers are in the playoffs against the Dallas Mavericks, you're going to have Max Christie guarding Luka. And, you know, if he gets by him, guess who's going to be there at the rim to protect? It's going to be AD. I mean, That'd be the ultimate playoff series if that's what it is. I'd say the Mavericks win in seven, but that would be a classic series to see if it's Luka, AD, Nico, Rob, Lakers, Mavericks. You know, I mean, the NBA couldn't write a better script if that's what it is to say get to a Western Conference final.
You know, it's crazy. Like the fact that AD got traded, like if anything, I would assume LeBron got traded to the Mavs. So you can go back and play with, you know, Kyrie, you know, have that magic again. And, you know, he's playing with another warrior. You know, LeBron's been itching to be a warrior or playing with one of those Splash Brothers for a long time. So
don't be surprised if LeBron gets traded here to the Warriors by deadline. I know he said he didn't want to get moved.
Yeah.
But Rich Paul, like you said, Clutch Sports knows they're no longer clutch in LA. It's time to move on. So he may want out, dude. He may want out.
We'll wrap this up right here. I don't know if you guys caught Giannis's comments on the trade. How Luka's now in LA. He's saying that's his dream for all the big European basketball players to end up in big markets. So we'll see where Giannis
is. Is Giannis
ends up
hinting at something?
I mean, I think
last time I saw Giannis, he was bitching at Chris Paul wanting to fight him over some like flagrant foul or something.
Yeah, I haven't seen that clip yet. I didn't hear about that either, though. But it had been a rough foul.
I mean, CP3 is fucking our size, guys. Come on, Giannis. Pick on someone your own size, dude.
Yeah. Things to look out for, which we'll do another updated pod with the wrap-up. Where's Jimmy Butler going? This guy said no to an extension with the Golden State Warriors. This guy's a problem. I loved Jimmy Butler, but it's a little too much drama for me now. If I was 10 years old, maybe even 12, I was a big TL guy, I would probably still like Jimmy Butler. Being this older and dealing with the drama that I've dealt with in my life, I'm not a big fan anymore.
Honestly, the funnier part of that is I love the people in Miami who thought this wasn't going to happen to them, even though it happened in Chicago. It happened in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It happened in Philadelphia.
Well, you know,
and
yeah.
So, like, we changed him with Heat culture and everything like that. And we did this. And, like,
I thought
yeah,
so
it's
too.
End the same.
I thought so too. But it's just Jimmy. It's whatever that coffee he has. It's him. He's getting paid $50 million for the end of his career, dude. Like, what does he want? 70? Like, no way. No way. Any other big guys that we should be looking out for at the trade deadline? Because definitely there's going to be some other trades going down. This is going to be a trade deadline to remember.
You know, we talked about the Bulls being active.
We got Zach out.
Yeah. I mean, a couple other guys.
Bradley Beal, the only other guy with a no trade clause, which how the hell did that happen? He's with Phoenix.
Curious with the Warriors. You mentioned the Warriors. What they do. Like, that seems like maybe the only Jimmy Butler destination at this point. I don't know what they're going to be able to give up. I don't know what Pat Riley's willing to do. I mean, he may have to say, like, hey, free agent of the year, we'll eat it till the end of the year and then be on your way. And they have the cap space. Like, it's an organization that when they've wanted to, they've gotten the big stars and they weren't concerned about young players. But then since the LeBron era, they've been about, you know, drafting and developing players and making the most out of stuff. The guys they signed. So, I don't know. Seems like they're pretty dug in on both sides in Miami.
I kind of like the Miami situation, though, because Pat Riley's getting pretty old, man. And I don't know what it is, but these older guys, when they start approaching 80, they start getting really cranky. And they don't like it when the younger guys start giving them trouble. And it's kind of giving me, like, it's not Jerry Jones vibes, but he's just similar the way he was responsive in the media. Pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants any drama or stuff like that when you get, like you said, Rome. I mean, you just said at 40 almost, you're tired of Jimmy. Now 80 years old. Pat Riley's the greatest basically management guy ever in NBA history, him and Jerry West. Those are the two greatest. And he's orchestrated multiple championship runs with the Heat, with Wade and Shaq, LeBron, Wade. Jimmy Butler's gotten to two NBA finals. He got beat in the bubble, and then he got beat by Jokic there in the Nuggets. So where is he going to end up? I don't know. I mean, every team that's called on him, he just basically gives you a big X for no, 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 no. I still think Dallas is in play. Keep an eye on that for Jimmy Butler. So, I mean, Butler could get moved. KD could get moved. I mentioned LeBron could get moved. Paul George has been talked about maybe getting moved, but does somebody want to take on that 4-year contract, his age and injuries?
No way. Stay away.
I'm staying away too.
Dude,
and
Philly.
The Nuggets. I think the Nuggets need to make a move. Now that AD's gone with the Lakers, he's gone to Dallas. They need to get a player too, man. I mean, the Nuggets,
really nice too. Westbrook and him have been a great combo. We haven't even touched that. We'll talk about that later on our NBA update, but that has been really fun to watch. I've been watching a lot of their games. It's phenomenal. They are missing a piece too.
Zion Williams, I think, gets moved too. And Brandon Ingram from the Pelicans. There's a lot of pieces that are going to get moved by the next time we're on.
Dude.
I thought I read some stuff. Zion to the Lakers at some point.
I wouldn't mind that. I would not mind that.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's that.
Get some of these troublesome guys that can't stay in shape around.
But another guy that's hurt.
LeBron. Well, I don't know.
The Lakers do that, man. They're going to be eating fat burgers and Sundays after the game because that's all that team is really becoming, man.
Nah, man. Zion's always hurt, but this guy's doing 360 dunks, you know.
Warm-up.
While he's on the injured reserve list. Like, what the hell's going on? Yeah, I'm excited. This is a lot of fun. I've been watching a lot of basketball. I've been actually watching a lot of hockey lately, which is weird. I don't know what the hell has turned that on.
Guy goes to a couple of Sharks games, man. Nah,
so is those MILFs in the crowd, dude? You saw, man, the sign. You saw just the sign.
Just a big puck head now, you know?
It was some cute white girls.
He likes the old five hole, man. Nothing wrong with that.
All right. I think that'll do it. You guys want to talk about anything else?
I think Jason wants to recap Royal Rumble, and then we get out of here.
Let's take a break. Jason's been biting at the bit. He wants to do a recap on Royal Rumble. So tell us what happened, man. Give us the deets. Break it down.
Rome, the road to WrestleMania begins at the Royal Rumble every single year. This one did not disappoint. Was happy to see Aaron. Found out he had Peacock. Found out the Royal Rumble was on there. Just a huge, huge night. I think a stacked Royal Rumble card. Rome, do you know the rules of the Royal Rumble? Just want to make sure. We just bring the audience along with you. You can be just the voice of who's not watching WWE nowadays.
You know what? I used to watch it. Aaron's the one that got me into it when we were like 6 years old, and I haven't seen it since high school. We're talking about 20 years.
So 30 men or 30 women. There was a women's rumble.
Do they have a trans event yet or no?
No. We have a women's rumble to start at first match. We had a men's rumble to close the show. So, you know, you start with two competitors. Every 2 minutes, another person enters. So basically an hour worth of entrances. Big pops, pop and circumstance, pyro, music, just waiting for surprises to come through all the way to 30. You got to throw your opponent over the top rope, 2 feet touch the floor. WWE's probably second biggest event of the year. Just been a staple on the calendar every year for me. I think it's a unique event that only gets this type of praise. Generally, you're looking for huge surprises, returning legends, maybe somebody that's, you know, shocked, that's, you know, done a, you know, just signed from a different company or something like that back in the day. You know, you get some surprises from WCW guys coming over, or maybe you get some just random person that joins. But yeah, this was a stacked Royal Rumble field that they had inside. So John Cena, the face of WWE, basically the last 20 something years, you know, really made ventures into Hollywood over the past five or so, announced last year this is going to be his final year competing in WWE. He's going to run a full-time schedule from the beginning of the year all the way to the end of the year. It's going to be his final Rumble, his final Mania coming up in Vegas at WrestleMania 41, and he's going to go to the gauntlet. It's going to be his last run. So it was his last Royal Rumble. You have CM Punk. Rome, do you know who CM Punk is?
Yeah.
All right, the voice of the voiceless. One of the biggest stars in the industry. He went over to the competitor, AEW, for a little while. Really put them on the map after 2 years of existence for them. Ton of controversy. We can get into another day, but left the company. Came back to WWE after 10 years, after he basically swore off the company, got into a legal dispute with a doctor and WWE and all sorts of stuff. But came back, one of the biggest surprises, you know, a little over a year ago. And then you had Roman Reigns. Rome, you know who Roman Reigns is. All right. I mean, he's the current face of WWE right now. He's the top dog, man. He's the tribal chief. You know, he's the big star they have now. Was WWE champion for over 3.5 years, the longest reign of the modern era, number four all time. And the only ones longer than him are guys from the 70s and 80s when wrestling wasn't on TV every single week like it is now. And then Seth Rollins, who's kind of like the Macho Man Randy Savage, the workhorse of the modern era, one of my favorites, just great in-ring guy, former world champion and stuff. Yeah, these four guys in the Rumble at the same time towards the end, which was just like pop after pop, was great. You had some surprises. Aaron, I don't know who he was, the TNA world champion. So TNA, another wrestling organization, had their world champion in the Rumble. Guy's name is Joe Hendry. You ever heard of him? Super popular. He's got a catchy theme song. You say his name and he appears and has a great song, man. Aaron, did you see Joe Hendry?
I did see him pop out and there it was. They said on the announce crew, someone must have said his name because here he is, like you said.
Huge internet fame with this guy. He's from Scotland, put together a whole song and thing and everything, you know, outside of WWE, but has, you know, made a few appearances. He's the TNA world champion. He showed out. Rob, I think I sent you the clip of I Show Speed. Do you know who that is?
I don't, but I did see the clip.
I don't either. I'm going to say, you know, we're a little bit of an old man trending on this pod. I Show Speed, apparently huge YouTube guy, you know.
Wasn't initially in the Rumble. Mentioned that.
Akira Tozawa came out and got attacked and was not cleared to compete. And so Triple H told the GM, someone's got to go in. And I Show Speed was in the back and said, hey, you're in the Rumble. Goes out there. Super athletic guy. Does a few things. But then basically gets cut in half by Braun Breaker in one of the most devastating spears you could probably do on a human being. Braun Breaker, the son of the legendary Rick Steiner. So the dog-faced gremlin himself. Braun Breaker is going to be main event in WrestleMania one of these days. Runs the ropes. Former football fullback. He played a little bit for the Baltimore Ravens as a fullback. The guy runs the ropes at 23 miles an hour. So if you can imagine getting hitting with the spear at 23 miles an hour.
Dude's a beast.
Beast. Broke I Show Speed in the half. Some of the great moments of the Rumble. And really, Rome, if you go to the end of it, just shocking win. You mentioned the winner. I don't know if we were off air or on air, but the winner at the beginning of the pod, I mentioned main event Jey Uso. Been a guy on the rise, been on the roster for over 15 years, part of a tag team, twin brother Jimmy. They've been tag team champions, I think, 10 times. The son of legendary WWE Hall of Famer Rikishi. Really has made a name in the last 3.5 years. Roman Reigns, I mentioned, the face of WWE, the tribal chief, had this faction called the Bloodline, one of the best storylines WWE has ever done the last 3.5 years. They were basically just a big faction of all kind of the Samoan dynasty that were in there. And out of this story, man, they have just made star after star of kind of these guys in the Samoan lineage. Jey Uso, one of the most over guys in the company right now. He says yeet a lot, which I was told by WWE announcers that's in the dictionary right now, but that's kind of his catchphrase. Gets the crowd going. It is a, you know, concert vibe atmosphere when this guy comes to the ring every time, and probably one of the more over guys in the company. So him eliminating John Cena, which shocked everyone, because you went down to a final six of basically the biggest names in WWE with CM Punk, you know, Roman Reigns, John Cena, Seth Rollins, Logan Paul. You know Logan Paul, I assume, Rome, you're bigger than that. So Logan Paul was number 30 in the Rumble. He was in there too. And Jey Uso, final six, you're thinking, man, it's going to be Roman. It's going to be Cena. It's going to be Punk. You know, CM Punk's never made it to WrestleMania, but Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns got big history. You know, the Shield back in the day, they were almost eliminating each other. CM Punk throws him out. Logan Paul then throws CM Punk out. So three of the favorites gone within that kind of few seconds right there. Kind of shocked everyone in the crowd. You ended with Logan Paul. You ended with John Cena and Jey Uso. Logan Paul gets thrown out. And you had this showdown, really, of the legendary John Cena and this new up-and-comer. At the moment, I'm like, all right, they're going to give Jey Uso a little rub here, but Cena's going to win. But no, Jey Uso knocks Cena out, wins the Royal Rumble, going to the main event of WrestleMania for the champion of his choosing, either world champion Gunther or WWE champion Cody Rhodes. So, phenomenal event. Earlier in the day and night, you had Charlotte Flair winning the Rumble, and you had Cody Rhodes defeating Kevin Owens in a ladder match for the WWE title. Highly recommend that match. One of the great ladder matches we've had in recent years. So incredible premium live event, Rome. We don't call them pay-per-views anymore. They're premium live events because you don't pay no more. They're on Peacock. You just subscribe to Peacock.
That's why I was shocked, man. I saw it on Peacock. It said watch. And I thought it was going to send me to a link for like $49.95. It just appeared on. I said, wow, I might as well watch this damn thing.
That's kind of cool.
But yeah, man, the ladder match was great, man. I love ladder matches. Cody Rhodes with a power bomb on KO, literally KOing him, and then going up and grabbing both belts. The old, was that the old Stone Cold WWF, WWE belt? That's the one KO had stolen?
Yeah, the old Winged Eagle belt. So WWE brought back the heralded Saturday night's main event a while back in December. So they got NBC Saturday nights, you know, used to be Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan back in the day, brought back a vintage show and stuff for one night only. Triple H said, we're going to bring a surprise. And he gave Cody Rhodes this giant briefcase. What could it be? And it turned out to be the Winged Eagle Championship belt, which is pretty much every belt wrestling guy, the Winged Eagle belt is the belt that you want to have. So he had that night. And then after Cody Rhodes got the victory, Kevin Owens wasn't happy, attacked him after the match, stole the belt and said he was the rightful champion. So we got a ladder match with the current WWE Championship belt and the old Winged Eagle belt there strung above the ring. And, you know, Cody wins and gets to hold both belts high. Classic wrestling storyline.
Classic ladder match, too. That was a good one. That was a good ladder. I mean, might have broken a record for all-time ladders used in a wrestling match, too. I mean, there might have been about six to eight different ladders out there for that.
Really?
At least they even had a step stool ladder at a certain point where Kevin Owens was going to do a spot off of it like it was a big thing and then just said the hell with it and just threw the ladder out of the ring. So some great stuff. Kevin Owens, I think one of the great modern performers. He had a WrestleMania main event a couple years ago and stole Cold Steve Austin in Dallas on night one of that Mania, WrestleMania 38 in Dallas. So one of the great performers that we've kind of had. The guy is really great in and out of the ring, sells stories. He's done some good stuff since he has returned to the dark side and been a heel in his vengeance against Cody Rhodes this last fall.
He kind of reminds me, I think they even mentioned he spoke with old Mick Foley as for getting tips for this match. He kind of goes down that dark path now where it's like, I don't care if I got to go through ladder cage. I want to destroy Cody Rhodes at all cost and get his belt that he rightfully thinks is his. So, yeah, I mean, that was a great match. That was a really good match.
Absolutely. So, paves the way, Rome. I said this is the beginning of the road to WrestleMania. I will be there in Las Vegas for WrestleMania. A few buddies of mine, my cousins, will be hitting it up in the streets of Las Vegas for the two-night WrestleMania spectacular. The card, this is probably one of the most unpredictable WrestleMania cards I think we've come into. If you had told me a year ago, I thought we were getting Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton for the WWE title. I thought we were getting The Rock versus Roman Reigns, you know, in a showdown between cousins, CM Punk and Seth Rollins. I thought that was a world title match that was there. But then now it turns out to just be a blood feud. Just so much great stuff. WWE right now, if I'm boring the majority of our podcast audience right now, but it is probably in one of the peak times of WWE. I know, you know, really? You guys are thinking back in the Attitude Era, and that's probably from a pop culture standpoint, but they're going arena to arena right now. We had 70,000 people in Indianapolis for this from a pop culture standpoint. You know, they had, you know, Tyrese Halliburton from the Pacers was there. He's a massive WWE fan. They had the Netflix premiere a couple of weeks ago in LA at the Intuit Dome where the Clippers play. They had all sorts of celebrities there. Like it's a different vibe with WWE now where it's a super mainstream thing. People want to be a part of it. It's much more of a show from a Hollywood, from sports. Like it's all tied in. Like it definitely was big back in the day from the 90s. And I think us growing up, that's always going to be our heyday.
Yeah.
But where WWE now under their new management, Vince McMahon being gone, Nick Khan, you know, former big time agent that basically repped all the big time guys for ESPN being CEO of WWE. He's taking this thing really global and there's tons of wrestling in the marketplace right now, especially WWE product, but they make these events just like they are show of shows and they're making them a little more exclusive because they're taking this stuff international. Like they're going to do a big show in Paris next year. The Royal Rumble next year is in Saudi Arabia. You know, they did Berlin. They've done, you know, England a few times and Wales and Scotland and different stuff. And those European crowds are just insane. It's just people for four straight hours just singing and going crazy. And, you know, the gate prices for these events are just insane. Every time they're going out now.
Oh, I just looked at the tickets. Like, I think last time you were talking about it, I was like, God damn, you must have dropped a few bills on that.
I did. And I bought them when they went on sale and they were early. a week and a half ago, the cheapest in the nosebleed was $700 for one night of WrestleMania, just for one night. So you're talking $1,400 to be at the top of Allegiant Stadium, you know, to go to this year's WrestleMania. So these are spectacular to be at right now. If you're a wrestling fan or not, it is an experience to go to one of these things. Just the vibe, the energy, everything that goes into the pageantry of these events, and it's just bigger and bigger every year. And I think WWE's current product has made it better. Triple H, you know, legendary wrestler behind the scenes from a booking perspective, and kind of him putting all the shows together, just he just interweaves so much that, you know, things like Vince McMahon didn't do. Like, there is just stories that just build and build and build upon each other. It just makes every show just that much bigger, where, hey, the same guys aren't on every show, but this stuff is just stretched over like a year. Everything's building. The stories are even wider. Things are referenced back. Like, it's just a great product right now if you're a wrestling fan, and has just put WWE kind of into overdrive. And, you know, it's a golden era right now, I think, of WWE product right now we're living in.
That's a hell of a statement. I just barely found Royal Rumble, though, by the way. I was like looking underneath sports, didn't find any sports. And I was like, wait a minute, that's the logo in the left hand corner. So I clicked on it. This thing's 4 hours long.
4 hours.
4 hours, 18 minutes, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's four matches, two Royal four Rumbles, matches. The tag team title, and Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens ladder match.
I'm gonna have to figure out how I can just go straight to the matches.
It took me to. I watched like half of it last night, and the other half while waiting for this show to get started. So I watched the men's Royal Rumble before this show got started, just not fall asleep. And I watched the other three matches.
That's hilarious,
last
man.
Night, or
I miss playing Sunday WWE night. On Super Nintendo. That brings back memories for me.
Yeah, but I mean, 70,000. Yeah, they're going to Paris there in August.
Yeah.
Jason just mentioned, but Saudi Arabia. So
I didn't see a ticket cheaper than $1,300 for one night when I looked. I think that was
ago. I mean, these events are going to be sold. They're going to be packed, going international smart. I mean, I know they got some kind of partnership or same management group under what the UFC is, and the UFC has gone international, gone big too that way. So there's between MMA, UFC, WWE right now, this is the golden age, as Jason put it, for both sports right now. Globally, they are big, big brands.
Yeah, they bought everything.
Yeah, it's one company. It's the TKO Group. They own both WWE and UFC. I think that was, you know, Vince McMahon selling it to this group. That's kind of what was the intent, that they basically have the, you know, kind of sports entertainment, you know, marketplace stuff. And there's a lot of like co-branding between the two. You see UFC stars in the crowd. WWE, a lot of the wrestlers are big UFC guys themselves. And, you know, kind of this stuff going back and forth, and you know, both brands huge internationally, and it's making it big in the United States as well, in a different level.
We just
You've had crossover too. I mean, Brock Lesnar's came over to the UFC, had a lot of success, won a belt, was a heavyweight champ. CM Punk came over, did not have as much success. He got out quick, but I mean, the crossover is big, the sport is big. Going to be exciting, man. I will catch WrestleMania now that it's not a pay-per-view and it's on the Peacock. I will definitely tune in and see a few more events for sure.
Nice. Thanks for the recap, man. That was I think you did a great job on that.
I appreciate that. That's awesome. Little WWE in, Formula One's are on the corner. We want to make sure all my niche sports on the pod. I just get to talk a little bit about each thing. IndyCar racing coming up too. I don't know if you've seen the IndyCar commercials right now. IndyCar broadcasting on Fox. They got some good stuff with Joseph Newgarden and Alex Palou. I think IndyCar is another sport right now I'm hot on. So IndyCar in my youth was a huge thing in the early 90s, and there was a big split in IndyCar and the Kart World Series. I think IndyCar is about to be the up and coming sport here in the United States too.
I love it, man. I love it. We'll be back on later in the week to talk more NBA trades, NBA updates, Super Bowl preview, prop bets, all that good stuff. Thanks for doing this pod so late, guys.